If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter number 19. In John chapter 19, we'll read this morning concerning what we began a couple of Sundays ago. We began a series on the veils that were rent when Jesus died there upon Calvary. We noticed, first of all, the veil of darkness as Jesus hung there upon the cross of Calvary. And darkness covered the face of the earth for those 3 hours, from the noon hour down to the 3 o'clock hour of our time, and how that was the time of the evening sacrifice. And there Jesus literally was sacrificed for our sins, and the darkness was rent. And no longer do we have to live in darkness. Thank God we can live in the light of His gospel and light of the Word of the Lord. Last Sunday we noticed the veil of separation. And when the dying thief there upon the cross of Calvary, or when he looked to the cross of Calvary, he came to an understanding that the one dying there was dying for him. And he was no longer separated. He could now be with the Lord. And Jesus told him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And there's no more separation. I tell you this morning, I'm glad that you and I can realize through the Word of God that one day we'll be together with the Lord forever and forever. We may be separated right now from Him in our in time and space, but we are forever with Him already, eternal in the heavens, and one day we will experience that. And that veil of darkness was rent, the veil of separation was torn asunder when Jesus died. And then this morning in John chapter 19 and verse number 28, I want us to begin reading there. John chapter 19, verse number 28. We'll notice this other veil that we'll be dealing with this morning. And this is the veil of death. The Bible says in John chapter 19, verse number 28, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished." That's a wonderful statement there. Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. What's He talking about? Talking about the bodily sacrifice and taking care of the need of salvation for mankind and getting ready to go to the grave and coming forth out of the grave. He knows that all things are now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, "I thirst." Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar. They filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. This morning I want us to talk about and deal with the subject of death. It is a subject that all of us face. It's a subject we sing about this morning. As the songwriter put those words in such great poetic verses and gives us a vivid description of how the end of life is compared to the setting of sun. And all of us are dealing with one day that sun setting in our lifetime. We're realizing, and as we get older, and as Brother Tom said a while ago, the older we get and the farther we go, the more we realize and understand how great it is to be a Christian and how wonderful it is one day to go to be with the Lord and what an anticipation it is to know Him and to have the wonderful knowledge of Jesus Christ as our Savior. But death is a result of sin. Sin came up in this world and has brought about a terrible thing. And since man has fallen in the Garden of Eden, man has been dealing with this thing of dying. That's why we have hospitals. That's why we have cemeteries. That's why we have doctors. That's why we have problems. That's why we deteriorate in our bodies and why we're not as strong as we once were is because we're dying. We're dealing with that subject of dying every day of our life. And death is a result of the curse of sin. You see, death puts out the light of man's life. Death puts out his hope. And all the details that we have arranged for tomorrow may not happen for us. All the details that we have for years down the road, it may not come to fruition in our life because death may step in and take us out and all the things are over then. Somebody says, "Well, death is just for the old person." Now, I'll tell you, it's not just for the old. Now, death is no respecter of person. Death doesn't regard you as a man or a woman, or boy or girl, man old or a woman young, or a boy and a girl just being in their early years. Death does not respect that. And we're dealing with this thing, and as it is as the curse of sin, it incarcerates the sinner in bondage and brings us down to despair. Death is the last enemy that all of us must fight. We're headed toward that battle. We're fighting with it every day. We fight the battle with death because things don't go right. Is anybody in here this morning? Are you better off now than you were physically 10 years ago? Well, 10 years does make a difference. Some of you young guys and young ladies say, it doesn't make a difference. I have a birthday. Well, when you get a little bit older, you won't want the birthdays. You're just glad you have another one. You're just glad another one comes by. You're not looking forward to it. You're not anticipating. You're not wanting it and wondering what I'm going to get. What we begin to think about, I get another day. And one day at a time, we fight all these battles that come to us and the battles that are there, and we fight it. And the judgment of God is upon this earth, and it's upon man. And whether we want to believe it or not, it's upon the man wants to die. And after that, the judgment. You're going to die. We're all going to die. And that's that last enemy that we will fight. But you see, this thing we call death is the righteous judgment of God upon His creation. God's always righteous. God's never unrighteous. And He says that He told Adam and Eve there in the garden, in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. When you eat, when you do, and what I tell you not to do, and you take of the forbidden fruit, He said, you shall die. Well, Satan comes along and said, hath God said? He's still saying that today, isn't he? Hath God said? Well, God hath said. And it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not, it doesn't matter if we accept it or not, God hath said. It doesn't matter if we wanted to change our life or not. God hath said certain things are going to take place. Certain things are going to happen because God hath said. And one of these days we're going to die because God said, according to man, wants to die. As Adam and Eve fell there in the Garden of Eden, the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Satan said, God just knows, He knows you won't die. He knows you're going to be like one of the gods. You're not going to die. I think I said this last week that I'm sure the moment that Adam partook of the fruit, I'm sure that serpent said, see, there you're still breathing, you're still living. But if something had happened in his life that had never happened before, he began the process of dying. It didn't happen immediately. Now, his spiritual death did, but that spiritual death and physical death are two different things. And so we are offsprings of Adam, and so we have the same nature Adam fell into. And that's an Adamic, sinful, ungodly, wicked nature without God and without hope, and we're dying. That's why we make preparation for it physically, because we know we're dying. That's why some folks say, they put up a big nest egg because they know there's going to be a time when they can't work, and so they're going to live off what they've saved. That used to be the American dream. That's not too clear today. But we find that we prepare physically for dying. It's a shame people do not prepare spiritually because they are dead. You see, a sinner is not dying, he is dead. She is dead. They are dead in sins and trespasses without God and without hope. And sin finds the sinner out. God will one day foreclose. And we hear that word quite a bit, foreclosure upon houses of folks that cannot make their payment, cannot do what they need to do, and the banks foreclose upon that. Well, one day God is going to foreclose upon the sinners in judgment, and that is death. A final blow unto them. Adam and Eve, they found out that they were dying. Things had happened because of their sin, and sin found them out. Just a few chapters on down in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 5, you'll find that the main thought in Genesis chapter 5 is death. You read name after name after name after name, and the last thing that's said about that individual is, and he died. You know what? That'll be the last thing said about me. It'll be the last thing said about you. Did you hear about so-and-so? They died last night. And the response might be, well, they've been sick a long time. We've sort of been expecting that. But they died. Or it might be that we wake up in the morning or even before we pillow our head tonight and we hear the news that so-and-so died. And what a shock it is, because they were a picture of health. Well, they didn't have to go. They didn't go to the doctor. They didn't have to take any medications. They were well. They were strong. And you mean to tell me they died? Yeah. Foreclosure. Or it might be that we get the news in the middle of the night that so-and-so has passed off the scene and they were just 14 or 12. You see, it's no respecter of persons. And death finds us out. Sin will find us out and we will die because we are dying. The reason I wear glasses is because I'm dying. The reason that I walk with a limp many times because deterioration. The knee is not what it used to be. The reason that I can't jump across a fence now and I used to could is because death is catching me. The reason I can think about all that I know can be done and I need to do and I can do it. And all of a sudden my body says, you just think you can do it. Oh, up here we can do it just like we always could, but the hands don't move right and the feet don't move right and the body don't respond right and we're not able to do it. Foreclosure. There is a finish. Notice in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. That's very clear there. Sin by one man. Didn't say it one woman. It says one man. Adam took of that fruit freely, willingly, denying and rejecting the Word of God, and he took of the fruit, and he fell into sin. God tells us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now notice here. And so death passed upon all men. That means mankind. For all have sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's like a archer that's pulled his arrow back and he's let it go and it falls short of the target, just not able to make it. And that's where we are. We've sinned. The fruit and the finish of sin is death. It's final. It's full separation. For the sinner, it's full separation from God. The dark veil of doom and damnation of death. Oh, thank God it was torn away at Calvary. It was torn away by our Lord Jesus Christ. Up to this point of the message, it hadn't been too enjoyable. It hadn't been too good to think about we're dying. It hadn't been too good to think about that we're going to be without God. Doesn't help us to understand that tomorrow I may not raise and tomorrow I'll hear maybe of a loved one or a friend that has died. That's not enjoyable, but thank God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope that tomorrow can be better because we can go to be with Him. It doesn't have to be that eternal separation from God. It does not have to be eternal damnation away from the Lord. Thank God we can go to Him because He has died for us upon Calvary. As Jesus hung there on the cross of Calvary, He uttered those words, and we don't have time to go into all those wonderful things He said there upon Calvary's tree. Three of His words, three of His utterances was directed toward God. He said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. Those three statements were said unto His Father. He wasn't talking to anybody else. He makes the statement to John, "Behold thy mother." He makes the statement to his mother, "Behold thy son." He makes the statement to the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." There he's talking to those right there at him. Then he makes the statement, "I thirst." We read that this morning. And that's a statement that he makes to all the spectators that could hear. They heard him utter that word, "I thirst." And so they brought him vinegar to drink. And he took it. But he makes one more statement. He says, "It is finished." Well, there's victory note there. It is finished. You know, when the Lord said that, it was in the Greek language, it is only one word. It's not three words like we have in our English language. It's just one word. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. It just simply means completed. Finished. Nothing else to do. Oh, Jesus hanging there on the cross of Calvary, bless the Lord, He finished it. He finished the work of salvation. That word that was spoken by Christ, it wasn't spoken to just those that they could hear around Him. He didn't speak it for those thieves on both sides so they might hear Him. It wasn't just spoken to God, His Father. But I believe that word, as it echoed down through all of the time and even of history, it was spoken not only to God the Father, but it was spoken to the Holy Spirit that He might come, and to those of heaven that were there waiting in Abraham's bosom. Then they realized that the plan of redemption, what they had hoped for in the Old Testament, and by the way, they got saved just like you and I do, by faith.
Amen.
And as they were there waiting in Abraham's bosom, they heard an echo all throughout that, "Finished!" But they knew what He's talking about. Their redemption now was complete. Their redemption was total, and salvation had been given to them completely. It was to where all the earth could hear that salvation and redemption had been offered to every person of all mankind, that if they would come and believe, they could be saved. That's why we have these flags around the building. That's why we have missionaries come by. That's why we have what we do and do what we do, because we know that Jesus will save those that will come unto Him. He will in no wise cast them out. Finished. I believe it echoed throughout all the ages of time. Salvation and death is no longer prevalent over us. We can have life. And He says, if you believe on Him, it's not just life, but it's everlasting life. It's eternal life. It's forever.
Amen.
Those words, I believe, echoed all the way through down to the depths of hell. It's finished. Tetelestai. Tetelestai. Finished. But that's a statement within itself. We have it in our Bible. It is finished. 12 times in the New Testament, that word "finished" is used. 12 is a good number. In the Old Testament, we find that it's a reference to divine government. You have 12 patriarchs from Seth to Noah. You have 12 patriarchs from Shem to Jacob. You have Jacob has 12 sons that later become the 12 tribes, the government of Israel. In the New Testament, we have the apostolic government of 12 apostles. We have, in the eternal age, the city with 12 foundations and 12 gates and 12 pearls and 12 angels setting a guard on those gates. It's a pretty good number. Thank God this morning when Jesus cried, "It is finished," He put a death blow to death. No longer do we have to die without God. No longer do we have to die without hope. The plan of redemption, the plan of salvation was finished that day when He cried, "Finished." Notice what we read a while ago. Jesus, I want to say it right. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. You ought to look up in your concordance sometimes how many times the Bible says that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. If it says it, it's going to be fulfilled.
Amen.
And so Jesus, knowing that everything had been accomplished, sacrifice had been made, blood had been shed. Footnote, His blood was not spilled. His blood was shed. Another thought, they didn't have to hold Him down to put His hands on the cross. The Bible says He was a willing sacrifice. I believe He walked to that old cross, laid Himself down and said, "Hit it, man. Here's my hands, here's my feet." And Jesus died there that day, and He put a death blow to death. We come to the end of the journey. Jesus came to earth for one reason. Now forget about all that you see on your stupid TV movies. Jesus came to this world for one reason, and that was to redeem mankind. He came for one purpose and one reason, and that was to be able to there that day on Calvary to say, "Finished." He is the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God from before the foundation of the world. God wasn't sitting in heaven wondering what He was going to do. The plan had already been made. He's not wringing His hands right now today. He's not wondering what's going to take place on Tuesday or next year or next 10 years. God's not wondering what's taking place. There are some things that are just set in order. And you know what's happening now? All these are things are taking place that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And it's not going to be altered one bit. He came to the earth to redeem the fallen. Those that had been placed in eternal death and damnation because of the fall of mankind. Standing before Pilate, Jesus said, "For this end I was born." He stood before Pilate. He said, "I'm here because this is my purpose. For this end I was born." He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all unto me." If I be lifted up. So He was placed upon this earth. He came at the appointed time. He didn't come a day early or a day late. He was right on time. He came for that purpose. And I might draw all unto me, or all men unto me. He said to His Father at one occasion, He says, "I come to do Thy will, O my God. I come to do Thy will." In the garden He said, "Not my will, but Thine be done." You know what He was talking about? You know what He was looking forward to? You know what He was anticipating? The moment, the time that He could say, "The Tetelestai." For that purpose, He came. Well, the veil of death has been rent asunder. It's been torn away. Hebrews 9:26, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world." That's a strange statement. "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now," here's the good part, "but now, once in the end of the world, He hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." Salvation is by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died to tear away the veil of death. You know the sad part about it this morning? There's people all across this country going to churches and they don't hear anything like that. All they get a feel-good message and they get a production and performance, but they don't hear the Word of God. You know, Jesus died. And when we come to the end of our journey, we know we have life. He died that we should live. The process that we go through is that we're born, we grow older, we die. Nobody's going to avail. Nobody's going to do away with that. But in the Lord's process, is that when we're born, we're dead. What do you mean? We're all born in sin. Ephesians 2 said we're sinners. We're dead. Trespasses and sins. So when we're born, that little sweet baby you have in your arms, spiritually that baby's dead. Well, I don't like that. I don't want to be told that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the Word of God. Them little boys and girls that are growing up in our home, unless they get saved, they're spiritually dead. They need God. They need the Lord. They've got to have Him. Oh, thank God He sacrificed Himself that those little boys and girls can grow up and be adults and men and women, and when they die, they enter into life. We don't enter into eternal death. We enter into eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How about death's obituary? His death is a final blow to death. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Now, in this one statement, there's two things that Jesus said. They're just not given to us. And when Jesus had cried, you know what that cry was? You know what that word was? You know what that message was? Finished! And when Jesus had cried, He cried finished. Then it says, He says, "Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit." Oh, thank God, this is the death of death. This is the end of what we know of as a separation from God. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had power of death," that is the devil, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." What did He do? He tore it away. What happened at the cross? When Jesus cried, "Finished," what happened? Well, Charles Spurgeon says it much better than I could ever. Great preacher of days gone by. He says, and I quote, "This cry, 'It is finished,' consolidated heaven, shook hell, comforted earth, delighted the Father, glorified the Son, brought down the Holy Ghost, and confirmed the everlasting covenant, and saved all the chosen of God." That's in one word, finished. It's over. Death has been took away. No longer are we under the bonds of death. Thank God we can have life through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That's the only reason that Paul could say, "Oh death, finish it for me. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" Only reason Paul could say that is because Jesus tore away the veil of death. Tore it asunder. We don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm going to die? No, never. I'm going to live forever. Praise the Lord. All because of one little word, finished. One little statement. As He hung there on the cross of Calvary, understanding and knowing that everything had been accomplished, He said, "It's completed. It's done. It's finished." And to all these folks out here that are religion, have religion so bound upon them, there's nothing else that has to be done. You don't have to go through the water. You don't have to hold on. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to climb a ladder. It's finished. I'd rather take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as the words of anybody I've ever heard. And I've got a lot of books, but His words are far greater than all the words in all my books. When He said it's finished, my friend, it's finished. All we have to do is trust Him. Believe upon Him. Well, I've been raised this, and I've been raised that, and I've been told it's this. Forget about what it is and what you've been told. Find out what God says. It's His Word. And He says, it's finished. Let's stand together this morning.